accepted Jesus into my heart around the age of 5, and if I close my eyes, I can still see my grandmother in her evening duster tucking in the sheets around my bed as she spoke to me about Jesus. The prayer that my grandmother led me in that night changed the course of my life because I saw that she had a very special friendship with God, and I wanted that too. And after I invited Jesus into my life became different, partly because I gained access to God through the power of prayer. But as I grew older, things changed. Not overnight, but slowly. Disappointments, financial stress, the increasing pressures of life as a wife and a mother exposed a real weakness in my walk with God. I was inclined to figure things out on my own before I turned with the Lord to the childlike faith that I had when I first accepted Jesus into my life. The Bible teaches us that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective, and I would add a personal note to that. Those prayers are the glue that keeps us close to His heart. I want to invite you to join me for the month of April as I lead you in a study of the life-changing power of prayer. I cannot wait to see what God's going to do in your life as you learn to better appreciate what access to Him is all about. You can join me by going to faiththatspeaks.com. That's faiththatspeaks.com. Head on over there and sign up, and I will see you for the April Bible study. Carla Marie Williams is an author of multiple books. She's a speaker and an advocate for children and families. And I happen to have found her because she commented on a post that I had on Facebook. She's a 15-year veteran of homeschooling 6 kids, and she's become a coach to thousands of parents through social media and mentorship programs using her own curriculum. And she joins me today for a conversation about home education, particularly as it relates to unschooling. This is the Heidi St. John Podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. So, Carla, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
So, I have an interesting story about how I found Carla. So, you know, guests come to me from, you know, all around the world. I just had Riley Gaines on the show. We were talking about the transgender movement. You guys know me. Everything is interesting to me. Like, I like talking about politics. I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about education. And I found you because you left a comment on my Facebook page, which is kind of amusing because I'm not on my Facebook page very much anymore. It's less appealing to me in my 50s than it was in my 30s. I'll just put it that way. I'm not enjoying it very much. But I was so intrigued. I went and sort of looked you up a little bit, little cyber stalking, trying to figure out, you know, who you were and sort of what your jam was. And you have been unschooling. So you're a homeschool mom, mm-hmm. right, of 6. So tell us a little bit about you, your journey, your family. And then I really want to dive into this topic of unschooling.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you for having me. It's an honor. Wow. Where do I begin? I'd say back in 2007, after adopting our first 3 children, I decided that I wanted to stay home with them. And I had planned on homeschooling from the very beginning, and I chickened out, and we happened to have, I didn't know anyone that did it.
Girl, I relate.
I wasn't supported by anyone around me. I was in the church. I was a minister in the church. But all the women around me were working moms climbing corporate ladders.
Yes.
And so it was, you know, what am I going to have to talk about at dinner with my friends? I mean, I was really trying.
Or am I even going to have any friends after this? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I got you.
Right. Because they feel judged when you make an odd decision.
Isn't that true? It's so true.
Yeah, it is.
So true.
And so what happened was I chickened out at the last minute, and we were across the street where we lived at the time from the best elementary school in our city. So I'm like, why would I do this myself when all I have to do is just a walker across the street?
Right.
So
right.
I did that.
And it's free. Right.
Yeah,
I know.
And free. You know, I had, yeah, 2 kids home, you know, 2 little ones at home, and she was starting. And we did that 3 years and 3 schools later. It was like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. She needed one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Again, we had adopted. She was 3 at the time. And her brother was 2. And then I had the baby. They were all siblings. And so it was like, she needs something different that a public school cannot offer, no matter what school we sent her to. She was going to need something different.
Yeah.
And so in the beginning, it was just an emergency. Save my daughter mission, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was the goal. And then eventually it just became a family thing where we did it with all three of the kids. And then 7 years later, even though we were doing it for 3.5, 4 years, I hated it. My kids did not like it. My husband was tired of hearing me complain and crying in the corner when he got home because I was.
Wait, I'm going to stop you for a second because you just said something out loud that a lot of moms won't say out loud. And I've been saying it loud for a long time. So whenever I hear a fellow truth teller, I'm like, whoa, stop, say it again. Your husband, listen, women, lean in. Homeschool mom. Actually, you don't even have to be a homeschool mom. Just lean in, women. Your husbands don't like it when you're constantly complaining. They really don't like it. There's nothing more, my husband used to tell me, sort of demoralizing than to come home and have me just like, nothing went good today. Everything's difficult. Right. You know, I hate
and
this.
And they're fixers.
Yes. And so then he wants to fix it. And he's like, what can I do? And right. I'm like, there's nothing. This is just our life now. Right? It's very Eeyore-ish. Right? And pretty soon,
absolutely.
They're just like, I mean, how many dads have I talked to over the years who've said, I don't want my wife homeschooling anymore because she's miserable. She's miserable right. to live with. I don't like my homeschool wife, right? Right. Oh, man.
His answer at the time was send them back. And I was like, yep. That's not happening. So yes. I have to figure this out and shut my mouth.
Yes,
and that's exactly
girl.
What I did.
Yes. Come on.
And
come
so on. We abandoned our carefully crafted, beautiful basement classroom that had all the bells and whistles of a, you know, elementary classroom.
The American flag is there and the desks yes. and the apple.
The letters
and
the whole thing. On
yes.
the wall.
Posters, everything. Yeah, I did the same thing.
And so we abandoned that for the backyard and the dining room
Come
and everything.
On the
and then 7 years later, when we decided to adopt three more, I said, I hate what we're doing. And I cannot imagine having to do this with six kids. And so we just stopped and we wanted to bond as a family of eight now, going from a, you know, family of five to a family
and
of
your
eight.
Your kids are all adopted. So you've
yes.
got
two
you've
sibling
got,
groups
like,
of three.
Wow. So you've got like relational work to do. You know, you're looking beyond just the education piece and going,
Absolutely.
We have to like form a family that's whole and healthy.
Yep. We went from zero to three to six kids. Yeah. And
I
so that's
tired.
Why we're,
I need a nap.
Right. The older three were 3, 2 and 3 months. And when 7 years later, we adopted a 6, 5, and 3-year-old.
Oh my word.
And okay. so when the younger three came home, I had six kids under nine. And
Girl.
What we were doing, which was basically read a story, fill out a workbook, lather, rinse, repeat. And it was the most boring,
it's so boring
thing ever.
Yeah, there's no life in it. Yeah.
No.
Right.
And I didn't realize how vast the homeschool, you know, world was. And actually, I met you my first year of homeschooling in 2000, or technically homeschooling. Before that, we were learning at home, but 2009 at a INCH conference in Michigan.
Oh, my word.
And I got
I
your
love
book.
Those guys in the winter. I love those guys. Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, Michigan, so are you still in Michigan?
Yes.
They're trying to like, girl, you guys got some challenges to homeschooling right now.
I know.
Like legislatively.
And we never have. We never have in the past. It's been almost like Texas.
Golly, people need to pay attention. Like I keep saying, y'all think that your freedom, that your homeschool freedom is just, it's just there. And you're not paying attention. And these guys are trying to take it from you. For real.
Right. Yep. We have 1 year with my last, but I'm really concerned about present and future homeschoolers.
Yeah, yeah, as you should be. Yeah.
And so we stopped what we were doing. I had been looking at some unschooling type things online and I was like, these people are out of their mind. They're crazy. There's no way. What is wrong with these parents?
No structure.
How irresponsible, you know, so crazy. And, you know, they came home in March of 2013, the younger three. And we were just like, we're done to the fall. We need to bond as a family.
Yep.
We have other more important things to consider right now.
Yeah.
And so,
that's your job as a mother. I love that you're sensitive to that because your job is to go, oh, hey, we got bigger fish to fry right now.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what we did. My husband was in full agreement with that. And I start watching, you know, videos and reading blogs on unschooling and everything. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so free. That sounds so wonderful. But it was terrifying to even consider. It was terrifying to consider.
Like a free fall.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, especially because I'm, you know, what they would call a AAA personality. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm like crossing T's and dotting I's and I want facts and I want numbers and
me
I want,
too,
you
girl.
Know.
Yeah.
And so yeah. to do that, you know, there was a lot of growth for me, a lot of letting go. Yeah. But by the time the fall came, we had started to see some things. My husband at the time worked in the school district. And so he was able to see a vast difference between how our kids were learning and how the school system was going at the time. And he was like, we need to not go back to what we were doing. Mm. Because our kids started teaching themselves things and teaching each other things that we would have never initiated. And then they were learning the very basics through living and through play and through exploration. And I started to see some of the things that other people were talking about in these blogs and in these videos. And I was like, that's what they're talking about. That's natural learning. That it's really happening. And so we never looked back. Right. Yeah. And we never looked back. And it's been a decade since we made that decision. Some of my kids have been more schooly and more traditional than others. But the key for us was, and this is the kicker, because especially being a Christian and wanting to make sure that I'm doing what's right with my kids, you know, morally, value-wise, all of it. So all those things came into play. And I saw a lot of people online talking about, you know, unschooling can't possibly line up, you know, with your faith and that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, that's not what I'm seeing.
Right.
And I started saying, I was like, how can following who God created my child to be outside of God's will? How can that not be, you know, and people do this with traditional homeschooling as well. So I'm not saying that this is the only way to do it. But the way that we were approaching it was really following their natural bent, God-given talents and interests and things that made them uniquely them, you know, by the hand of God.
I love it because you are saying that your kids come to you exactly how God says they did. Right?
Absolutely.
That he created them in their mother's womb with unique skills and gifts and abilities, and the responsibility yes. and the opportunity of every mm-hmm. parent is to sort of mine out of your child what yeah. is the gift and ability that God's given.
It's already there.
It was already there. Yeah. You're just trying to help them find it.
Exactly.
I love it.
That's how we've approached it for the last decade. And it has brought so many amazing things forth that I would have never found in a curriculum. I would have never found, not that there's anything wrong with curriculum. Let me state that for the record.
Right. Right.
Because we have
everyone,
used,
everyone
you know,
can put your knives back now. It's fine. We're
right?
fine. Right. It's okay. It's okay.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, there's just so much to be said about letting our kids be who they are through the eyes of God. You know, you have to say that today.
Yes, but you do. Yes,
you have to say that today.
Because we all know what a woman is. Okay. Yes,
exactly.
We do. Yeah.
We know exactly what a woman is.
We do.
And so it's been a beautiful ride. It's been a beautiful ride. They have all been able to spend years honing in on what makes them a gift to the world. Mm. They've all been able to, you know, see what their gifts and talents are and spend time on those things. And it doesn't mean that we did not make sure they had the basics. You know what I'm saying? We're not being irresponsible and realizing that there are going to be things that no matter what they pursue in their future as a career or their life's work, that there's going to be things that they need to know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all those things are covered. They're just in a very untraditional manner. Mm-hmm. Many times in conversation, many times related to what's going on in life at the time. Mm-hmm. So if we're studying government, we're studying elections, we're studying morals and values and biblical principles and how it relates to those that want to represent us.
Come on.
Right.
Girl, so, you should be like America's homeschool mom.
No, that's you can, true.
You'd be like coaching the moms who are coaching the kids, who are picking right. the next generation of leaders. It's really, really true. Well, can you give us a typical day? So there are parents who are listening to this right now. I mean, this show is going to be listened to, you know, thousands and thousands of times.
Yes.
Talk us through, because there are moms and dads who are listening to this, and maybe even a high schooler who's like, oh, that's interesting. But their right. heads are kind of exploding because the idea is so foreign to maybe a kid who grew up like I did in a traditional school, or maybe, mm-hmm. You know, the kids who've always done just the workbooks, right? Get out your workbook and there's seven subjects in every day, and every day has a workbook page and that's what you do. But like you rightly pointed out, that can shrivel up a soul. Yes. Not in everybody. There are some kids who thrive with that. And so I don't want right. to, I mean, I've had, of all seven of our kids, some of them did great with workbooks and some of them didn't. But walk us through a typical unschooling day.
Yeah. So what's interesting is that a lot of people think that unschooling, first of all, let me say the un is what freaks people out.
It is.
And that's what freaked yes. my husband out in the beginning. He was yeah. like, un anything sounds unnatural.
Right.
Right. He's really? Like, I just don't like the word.
Right. Unshowering. So, you know, no.
Right.
You will never be unshowering. Yeah. No, I hear you.
One of the things that, you know, sometimes I call it interest-led learning, you know, but
delight-directed. More than,
you know, right. Delight-directed, self-directed, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. And even using the word self sometimes is kind of off-putting, especially right. as a Christian. But yeah. One of the things that we didn't necessarily have structure. And a lot of people say, well, my kids need structure, or I need structure. It's not that it's void of structure. It's a different kind. And it's the structure is created by the learner, who is the most important, you know,
it's for the learner. Of course, I mean, ultimately,
exactly.
I
think that's, why are we doing this?
Why are we doing it? Not actually doing it for you, mom. I mean, you're doing it for your, right. for the learner. Yeah. Right. Yes.
And so the structure is created by the learner, and that's what makes it work. A lot of times we have kickback and anger and irritation from our kids because they have zero autonomy or zero opinion or thoughts or ability to
into what they're learning.
Create their day, into what they're learning, into what they love. It's almost like I'm exhausted by the time I do seven workbooks. I don't even want to play the piano. I want to go play. I don't want to learn anything else, even if it means that it's, you know, mastering a skill that I love.
Yeah.
So
it's good.
Saying all that to say, our days were not scheduled by times and minutes and things like that. It was more of a routine. And the routines have changed over the years, and I've remained flexible because our lives have changed and the kids' needs have changed and the things yes. that they've, you know, delve into change. But, you know, in the morning we have a routine. We still kind of have the same routine. In the evening we kind of have the same routine. But it's the magical middle part of the day that they get to direct. And, all of that is directed, I guess I could back up a little bit, by their annual goals. We go from January to December. They set goals for themselves for that year. And those goals can be financial goals. They can be, you know, I want to become a better writer. I want to learn graphic design, or whatever their goals are. And they can be from A to Z. And they don't have to be important to me, but they're important to them. And then dad and I determine, you know, what areas in which they could improve, because maybe those skills like reading, writing, and living math are things that they're all going to need.
Yes.
And so we will add those to the goal list. And then, but they themselves will determine how they'll go about learning those things. So
what would that look like? Yeah. So you just added math to your sixth grader, and he was like, mm-hmm. okay, mom added this to me. So when you say he goes about trying to figure out how he's going to learn that, what would that look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, my husband and I did under the age of 12, we let math naturally evolve. After that point, we looked at all the math that we use in our lives. We wrote down a list of all of those skills and we said, how can we integrate that into their lives? So we made sure everybody had a bank account. We made sure that we had them making their own purchases and keeping their own ledgers for their accounts. Mm-hmm. We made sure that they, you know, we would go to the store and just ask them, okay, if this is 20% off, then what is the actual, you know, what is the actual cost of this? Then you have to add tax. So they're doing percentages and multiplication and the four operations. And, you know, in the kitchen, obviously, we're, I don't think I have a kid that learned fractions outside of the kitchen. You know, it's just one of those things, adding, subtracting, you know, doubling and all that kind of thing. But so we figured out how to add those things to our lives through gardening, through household chores, through their interests. One of my sons, who is proudly serving his nation in Japan right now, is a pilot. And so a lot of what he had to learn in mapping and actually he started flying at 12. And so he spent many, many years calculating distance and all the kinds of things that he would have to do mathematically and scientifically to be able to take a trip, to be able to fly from here to there, and the wind and the, you know, all of the weather included and all those things. So that's just an example of how science and math come into play with their actual interests. I have another son that is a musician. And he didn't realize until he started studying music theory, how science and math related to that.
That's right.
And so we delved into that. And, so it's just so many different things that they do. But to answer your original question about what our days look like, the middle of the day is filled with them pursuing and going after the goals they've set at the beginning of the year. Now, does that mean every day is 1,000% productive and they're just, you know, solving cancer and all kinds things all day? No, no, it's not. You know, we get on each other's nerves just like any other family.
You know,
there are lazy days and there are productive days and then there's everything in between. And so there are, it's just one of those things where the middle of the day is a free flow, but they have these goals that they've set for themselves as a map, a marker of what they want to attain.
And so really, you've given them a framework. I feel like that's what I hear from you. I feel like I think when people hear unschooling, and I mean, I would put myself in this category too. I don't feel this way about it anymore. But when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, so now I see, I'm picturing Tarzan. Right.
Right.
And his mom and dad.
We have our Tarzan moments too.
Yeah. And his mom and dad are just like, there's the door, son. Have a good day at school. You know, and he's off like, you know, but you've really given them, you know, you've given them a little bit of Tarzan, but also you're giving them a framework, a structure in which they can fit their day around, and you're giving them the opportunity to shoot for goals, right? So you're asking them, and I think, man, I wish more parents would do that. You know, talk to your kids. What do you want to do? I have a 12-year-old or 13-year-old now who wants to be a pilot. And she is, I mean, at the age of 13, she is very committed to this idea. She wants to be a pilot.
That's
and
amazing.
So we're giving her opportunities to do that. But you're never going to know if you don't ask your kids and sort of, you know, let them see, what do they like to do? What's their natural bent?
Right. Absolutely. And with him, by the time he graduated, well, I like to use the word launched, but by the time he graduated, he had his pilot's license, his student pilot's license. He had two certifications in avionics and aviation maintenance. And, decided to hold off on college and went to work for a company designing computers and installing computers in private jets. And he was 18 years old. And that's because he had spent literally 7-8 years focused in and honing a craft and gaining knowledge in an area that he would have never gotten.
Any other way, really.
he wouldn't have gotten that. And so, yeah. you know, it's just, and now he's doing what he loves, you know, and mm-hmm. all his second love is his country. And so he loves being
good
in
job,
the military.
Mom.
And I, and so, and I have two more, one definitely that is about to be 18 that wants to join the Marines, but, wow. All of them are so vastly different in their skills and knowledge and giftings. And it has been a joy to see it come out, but it's been a joy to help cultivate it. And then, you know, I have a couple that have gone, you know, from one extreme to the other when it comes to the things they're interested in. And I feel like parents need to hear this. There is no amount of money and hear me, we're not rich, but there's no amount of money or time or effort spent on something that's going to be wasted, even if you don't see it applying to their long-term life's work. It's going somewhere. It's all building upon something. So you may have a kid that's playing the piano for 10 years and suddenly they don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like that was wasted time and effort and money. All of those skills outside of music, all of the skills gained during that experience are going to build upon something and go lead to something
so
else.
Good.
So
yeah,
don't feel like, you know, there's this misconception that if, you know, with unschooling that you are, you know, hurry up and find out what your kid's calling is and then spend all of these years, you know, focusing on that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some kids that know that they know and show a skill and aptitude for something very young. And you're going to have 18-year-olds that are like, I don't know what I want to do.
Right.
And both are normal.
Yes.
Both are normal.
That's
and your goal
good.
Is to just encourage them as they go. Today, it may be piano.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, it may be aviation. The next day, it may be graphic arts. But all of it is building. All of those skills are leading to something. And you'll see eventually how they all play out. So just don't be afraid to be flexible and don't get frustrated when your kid wants to change things up. Mm-hmm. You know, ask questions. Sometimes it may be discouragement. It may be fear. But a lot of times they just feel like they're done with that in the moment. They may
come
back to
it. You want to change things up, right? I mean, I think
exactly.
It's easy for us as parents to sort of forget that our kids are just really little people. I mean, they just, you know, they need that variation. They need to be challenged. As you look back over your experience as a homeschooler, because you've been at this for a while, if you mm-hmm. could go back to your younger self, someone asked me this on a show the other day. I thought, that's a good question. I'm going to start throwing that at people on my podcast. What would you do differently? If you could talk to your younger self, what would you say to her that you kind of
wished? As a homeschool mom?
Yeah, as a homeschool mom,
okay.
as just a mother in general. But when you look back, would you go, man, I would have done this different. I would have looked at this differently.
One thing, honestly, if I had known about it, I would have been more loose and less structured in the beginning.
I hear that.
I would have leaned more toward unschooling or interest-led learning than I would have, because I feel like we wasted 4 years. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was very little retention. There was just lather, rinse, repeat, read and answer questions. And the next day they had no idea. You know, there was no retention.
I don't even remember what they're learning. Yeah. That's what Jenny Urich would say too. I think she does, of course, 1,000 hours outside. I had her on, I don't know, a week or two ago. And she was saying the same thing. And I would say the same thing. If I could go back, you know, to my, you know, 25-year-old self, you know, 26-year-old self who was just starting out homeschooling, I would just sat me down and said, settle down.
Yes. Calm down. Relax.
Chill out.
Enjoy.
Calm down. Relax. Enjoy.
Get outside.
And and it's hard, right? Because you want to do, I mean, the motivation behind the sort of uptight homeschool mom is I want to do this right. So the motivation is good, but sometimes the outcome is that everyone's just stressed out and the homeschool mom is burned out and the kid's not loving learning. And that's so much of what we want to do, right? Is help them love to learn. And you can't do that when you're just cramming workbooks down their throat.
You know what I think with new homeschool moms as well is that I noticed, because I was this way and I see it in a lot of other people, is that because we have so much pushback from those friends and family surrounding us, that our goal is to prove them wrong. Yeah. And so we want our kid academically to shine, you know, 1,000 times over someone that's in a public school to say, see, this works. So we spend so much time doing that instead of really enjoying our kids and figuring out who they are and what they have to offer the world. We're trying to get them to fit into a box and be better at the box checking than being who they are. Yeah. So
it's so true. And I just wonder, you know, what would happen if we had more confidence. And I think that's a lot of what you're doing when you talk about just unschool, because your kids are doing great. I mean, you know, most of your kids are grown now and they're just doing great. And I wish that moms that go into it, particularly now, you know, because my generation, you know, so often I felt like I was really running to something. This generation of homeschooling moms largely running from something. They need to know that God's already gifted you. He's already equipped you. If he's called you, he's already equipped you, and you can do it. And you can do it without stifling your child's love for learning.
Absolutely. You know, and it's unschooling has looked different. That's the beauty of it. I think people think that it's just throw out the curriculum and, you know, take hands off. I've never been more hands on than when I was unschooling my kids, because I had to be tuned in to who they are and what they had to offer and those gifts and talents. And if you're not paying attention, things get past you. They fly under the radar. And before you know it, you're like, I didn't even know that that was a talent of yours. An example of that is my oldest daughter. We were just, you know, everybody was going to be a math genius in our family. Because I had the insecurity that I wasn't, and my husband is, that I wanted everybody, you know, to master what mom failed so miserably at. And not even realizing that she had dyscalculia, number one, and we didn't find that out for years. Oh, wow. We just thought she just didn't like it. She just hated math, like me. And I projected that, you know, with a couple of my kids. And that was, I would definitely change that, change my attitude and how I approach certain things, not realizing that I'm projecting that upon them.
Yep. Boy, but do it if we don't even realize it. So good.
And she actually, when we stopped doing things traditionally and started unschooling, she started writing. And one day she sent me, I talk about this in my book, but she started writing and she brought me a notebook and she said, oh, I wrote a story, Mom, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's cute. So when I got around to actually reading it, I told my husband, I told my husband, I was like, this is a book. I said, what if we made her homeschooling experience surrounding a book? And she said, yes, Mom, I want to write, you know, at that time she had a goal to write 12 books in 12 different countries about, you know, the characters. There were fictional books for ages 8 to 13. And she, by the time she graduated, she had written 4 and published 4. And she published before I did. I helped her publish her books before I even published under my own name. And so, but we would have never been able to see that gift, because we would have been so focused on trying to get her to be what we wanted her to be as far as what her natural gifts and talents were. And so, yes, we made sure that she had very basic, you know, math skills, but again, dealing with her special challenges in that area, we had to figure out what she was going to need for what God called her to do. And make sure that she had the opportunity to exercise those gifts and talents first and foremost. And so, yes, she became a published author of 4 books before the age of 16. And what she learned through that, this is the kicker. She learned public speaking because she had to represent her brand and her books. She learned business, you know, so there was math involved in that. She learned marketing. She learned about every single country, different languages of those countries. She learned about customs and cultures, because each one involved a different culture. So there were just so many things that she was learning in this one interest of hers, which was writing.
Wow.
And then her, you know, she also was very passionate about cooking. So she went to culinary arts school. So she's a trained chef as well.
That's handy at Thanksgiving.
And right. And now she's a new mom. And so it's like we were able to see who she was and what her gifts were instead of forcing her to do something. Number one, that was a challenge we didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And number two, that she... it just wasn't her natural talent. Hmm. You know, I have other kids. My kid that's 15 right now is challenging himself to do algebra and geometry. We're not forcing him to do that. It's what he wants. His older brother did the same thing. And I have a musician that spends his, you know, the middle of his day writing music. He's writing music. He's composing music for piano and for guitar. And he's about to do his actual audition for wow. music school. So wow. every That's single amazing. One of them have been able to spend that middle part of their day honing their craft and learning new things. And we did read alouds. And so a lot of our, I'm a read aloud fanatic. And
me too.
I miss it so
me too. Me
much.
Too, girl.
I cry just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because to have all my babies in one room at one time and learning and discussing special. Such amazing things. Mm-hmm. You know,
what was your favorite read aloud? Do you have one that you can think of?
Oh, there are so many. The Boy That Harnessed the Wind was mm-hmm. one of them. And that was special because I was going to Malawi. So for us to be reading that book together and then me actually visiting Malawi was pretty special. Oh, there's so many. There's Chester and Gus, which was a book about a autistic boy and his dog. That was really special. And The Sound of Silence was about a boy during World War II who was hearing, but he was the child of two hearing impaired parents.
Okay.
And so it walked through his life and his just it was just really rich, really rich. But we've read
I think people don't realize the power of read alouds with your kids. I mean, we did that in the mornings for years and years. And we loved it. Went through missionary stories with our kids and tons of biographies. Yes. You know, I think of just Red Sails to Capri. And I would like to sort of stop right when they were like leaning in, like, nope, guess we'll have to pick that up tomorrow, you know? And some days we would stop and it would give them this just, you know, push to come back the next day. And then other days we'll go, you know what? We got time. Let's just finish the book today. Mm-hmm. And they're in that, like your growing relationship with your kids. We've got about 1 minute left. I want to touch on this really quickly, because then we'll come back for happy hour, because I want to talk to you about unschooling young adults. Because you've written a book on this called Teens Unleashed, Unschooling Young mm-hmm. Adults as They Reach for Their Dreams.
Yes.
So good. Because there's a lot of people listening to this right now who are like, I just know. I mean, maybe the unschooling thing works for you, Carla, when your kids are younger, but then when they get into high school, you got to dial it in. And your experience has been different. Mm-hmm. I think it's really encouraging. If people want to find you, where do they find you online?
I am under Simply Carla Marie on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and formerly known as Carla the Unschooling Mama or Carla in the Sensational Six. And so I'm the same person, just evolving.
Well, but, you're coming in. It's like we talked about this before. You're coming into a new season of your life. And I think you're setting an example. You know, I told you before we started recording today that when I started out, I was, you know, the busy homeschool mom. And then I took homeschool out of my name because I didn't want that to be like a thing that kept people from, you know, sort of listening to what the Lord's putting on my heart. And everyone just freaked out. They just lost their minds. Like, Heidi took the word homeschool out of the busy mom. And girl, you got to change. You know, your seasons change, your message changes, right? So what might be your message this year? I mean, I have a different message as a mother of a 32-year-old than I did as a mother of a 22-year-old. Like my life is changing and we're growing and moving from season to season. So I'm excited for what God's doing in your life.
You know, thank you. And if they want to know more about me, because there's so much more that I do in my international work as well, they can see that on my website at CarlaMarieWilliams.com. That's Carla with a K. And
CarlaMarieWilliams.com. I'm there now, girl. You got that. Your website's packed full of stuff.
Thank you. And the two books that I've written on interest-led learning or unschooling is Homeschool Gone Wild. And that covers mindset shift in how you approach education, as well as our early homeschooling experiences and what made us switch to unschooling. And then Teens Unleashed, because I promised to come back when I had teenagers and I had actually graduated someone to actually write the sequel to that. So Teens Unleashed followed that. But
I think that's really important. There's nothing more demoralizing than taking parenting advice from someone whose oldest kid is five. It's like, you know,
exactly.
Thank you. Yeah. It's so true. Well, right. Carla Marie Williams, it's just been a delight to have you here. We'll continue this conversation in happy hour talking about Teens Unleashed. But I just want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been a great, great experience for me and encouragement.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you guys want more information on my guest today, check it out at HeidiSt.John.com/podcast. And I will link back to all things Carla Marie Williams today. I hope you guys are encouraged just listening to other homeschool moms just like you. She's a mom just like you, just like me, that God has given her the tools and ability to do the thing that he's asked her to do for her kids. And he does the same for each one of us as we follow him. So I hope you guys have been encouraged. I know some of you are like scratching your heads going, man, I didn't realize I could do something beyond workbooks. Yes, you can. And Carla can help. Check it out, CarlaMarieWilliams.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you are subscribed to the Heidi St. John podcast, stick around because Carla's going to be coming back on the show with me. And we're going to be talking about how we can unschool our young adults as they reach for their dreams. You guys can do this all the way through high school. I know this has been part of what we have incorporated with our young adults as they move into the later teen years. Don't give up on homeschooling teens. It's the best thing ever. Yes. Do not put them back in school, for goodness sake. And Carla and I are going to talk about that in happy hour. Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. And I will see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and culture. So here we are in happy hour. Carla, thanks for sticking around with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this now because I do hear, well, I'll tell you, I met a woman, you'll think this is funny. I met a woman years ago and she told me she was a homeschool mom. And I was like, awesome. What's the first question that we always ask? How do you homeschool your kids? What's the curriculum that you're using? And she says, well, we unschooled our kids. And I was like, oh, okay. So what did you do? And she said, well, we use the Bible. I said, how many kids do you have? She said, 12. I'm like, okay, so you have 12 kids and you used the Bible. And I said, what are your kids doing now? Like here, you know, I'm thinking she's going to be like, well, one of them's a dog catcher and the other one, you know. Anyway, she's like, well, two of my kids are doctors. One of them's an attorney. Two of them are teachers in the public school. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So now I said, okay, now wait. Whoa, 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 whoa. Go back. You said the Bible. The Bible was a thing that you used to teach your kids. Yeah. I said, could you unpack that for me just a little bit? Because here I'm like, you know, going through my Abeka workbooks and my kids are, you know, no, mom, don't make us do that again. And that was the phase of life we were in. And she said that they just read the Bible and then they cooked and they went out and she was basically unschooling. That's what she was doing. But she said they learned how to write by reading the Bible. They learned proper grammar. They learned they did copy work out of the Bible. That's how they learned quotation marks and parentheses and what is an apostrophe for and how do you spell correctly. And all that stuff was done just reading the Bible. And I am floored by this. I said, when did they learn, like, you know, math and stuff? And she said, well, when they got to be about 13, we cracked open a math book. And I was like, okay, wow. But her kids are doctors and lawyers and teachers and parents themselves, and they're just doing great. And it really blew my mind. This is something that you're passionate about, talking to parents about teens, like so much so that you wrote a book on it. Tell me a little bit about Teens Unleashed, because I know people can get it on Amazon.
Yes. Wow. So, you know, it's so funny when you said that. I was like, oh, yeah, the Bible could teach you everything you need to know.
That's what she, this woman.
I mean, there is science and there is physics and there is everything if you look closely. And that's one of the things that I talk about in the book, in both Homeschool Gone Wild and Teens Unleashed, that everything, first of all, we learn when we have interest. We learn when that body of knowledge has a purpose for us in the moment. And obviously the word is always applicable to us all day, every day, in every area of our lives, right? And so I could definitely see how she did that. We have done, you know, more than just the Bible, but I totally see how a person can take the Bible and unpack it like that.
Well, she said it was just kind of what they, you know, math was cooking and things like that. But she would say that once they hit about, you know, 13, 14, then they started, you know, getting more into what she would call were the academics. But her kids were ready. I mean, that was kind of her main thing. She's like, they were ready. They could see like, okay, I need to move on to the next level, as opposed to here's what you're doing today, right?
Right.
And and she never squashed their love for learning.
You know, and that's the key. This is how we approached it. Before the age of 13, you talked about, you know, before during the interview about our Tarzan days.
Yeah, those were the Tarzan days. Yeah.
There was very little other than maybe putting out things, they call it strewing, putting out, you know, a microscope or something to just kind of draw them in. I didn't do a lot of initiating other than read alouds. That was, you know, in our Bible reading. But they were free. Those were their Tarzan days. They just explored and enjoyed life. And we tried our best not to separate life, learning, and play. Mm-hmm. We wanted all those things to be part of their experience every day, where learning wasn't like a necessary evil, so to speak, but it was just part of living. It was just part of what we did as we live and we grow and we mature. Like the person that you were talking to, you know, about the age of 13, even though they may have already identified some areas that were really interesting to them, things that they, you know, gifts, talents start to emerge, we began to start talking to them about things that they may want to do, you know, in the future. And then we share with them through research what you may need to learn as a result of that.
Yes.
And so their teen years, they're able to hone in and say, okay, my son, you know, the pilot, he knew that science and math were necessary. He did not love math, although he was good at it, but he knew it was necessary for his career. So he did it. We did that research. He knew that it was something that he was going to need to do. Where did the unschooling come in with that? I didn't make him do it. He was able to choose the resource that he used to learn it. He wanted it bad enough and he did it. Mm. He built it into his day. And he did that with chemistry. He did that with physics, which are passions of his. So he had no problem spending 3 years studying chemistry. So a lot of times people, because he lived it. Exactly. And so what happened was, because those early years were so focused on just exploring everything, their latter years kind of honed in on one or two things themselves they were the most passionate about, and they just studied it far and wide. We sat down with each one of them. Again, we did the annual goals. We sat down with each one of them to determine, you know, okay, so you want to study music, or you want to be a crime scene investigator, one of my daughters, or you want to be a fashion designer, or you want to be a gastro tourist, my daughter that is a chef.
Well, I thought you were going to say gastroenterologist. I'm like, oh,
no. Yeah, because she wanted to be a gastro-tourist. She wants to, you know, to experience food and share that with the world, all over the world. And so we worked with them and we found this is probably the greatest key. We would find books to help them, you know, explore things deeper. Yeah. But more than anything, I spent day and night searching for mentors that could teach them things I couldn't.
That's
searching
good.
For hands-on activities and projects and things that they could be a part of, whether it's at home or in our community, lessons or classes, activities, group projects, anything that can help them learn and grow in that area that they were currently interested in. Some of those things stuck and have stuck, you know, to the very, you know, to them launching into the world. Other things they've learned and moved on to new things.
Yeah.
But all of it, we try to do a hands-on, utilizing knowledge approach to everything versus just reading about it or watching something about it. We try to layer their experience. So, okay, how can I get my hands in this industry? How can I learn from somebody that's doing what I want to do? How can I, so we'll get the books, we'll watch the documentaries, but we'll get outside the house and we'll meet people and we'll see demonstrations and just layering all that information on top of each other. So it's a holistic approach and different aspects of that. And I think that's kind of what my son, who's a pilot, once he was flying for many years, he said he had more questions that needed answers.
Yeah.
And so that's why he wanted to do avionics and aviation maintenance, two other aspects of the aviation industry. And so now he is, you know, studying fighter pilots and fighter, you know, fighter jets and things of that nature now that he's in the Navy.
Okay. So he's in the Navy. I wondered if he would pick the Navy or the Air Force. Okay. Interesting.
No. And believe it or not, the Navy has more opportunities for pilots than the Air Force does.
Yeah. And they're doing like carriers and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. So, he's on a carrier in Japan.
Oh, man.
So, and he is just in love with life right now. And I'm so happy for him.
Wow.
But it is, it's an approach that takes the learning outside of the classroom, so to speak, or outside of the textbook. And you can do this, whether you approach things, you know, in an unschooling manner or not, you can do this just by having your kids at home, just opening up their learning opportunities. So no, you don't have to, you know, say I'm going to become an unschooler and I'm going to let go of everything. But what you can do is you can focus on who your kids are created to be, and you can loosen the reins and give them more time to master skills that, that are focused on who they are and the gifts and talents that they have, and be a little less rigid or militant about the things that don't define their natural gifts and talents. So we make sure all our kids have living math.
What do you do?
So to speak.
Well, okay. So two things, I mean, define, you know, living math, but then also what do you, what do you do in seasons? Cause you know, I mean, we've all, most of my kids are in their 20s now and, or 30s, like 20s and 30s. And I've gone through seasons with not all of them, but certainly with several of them where they just didn't know what they wanted to do. And so in that season, they're discouraged. And I can get discouraged too, because then I just, you know, it's the easy thing for me to just go, well, maybe I failed somewhere along the road. But the truth is, Carla, at 18, I didn't know what I wanted to do. 19, I'm just fumbling my way along. I thought, well, you know, I tried to go to Oregon State University and they wouldn't take my high school diploma because I went to an unaccredited Christian school, which is amazing. But that kind of moved me to go to Multnomah because I thought, well, I'll take a year at Bible college and then I'll go. But then God had different plans for me. And I don't think my mom, I mean, my mom was in the middle of all kinds of her own stuff, but I don't think my parents were like scratching their heads going, we screwed up. Pi doesn't know what she wants to do. But homeschool moms do that. Homeschool moms do,
we do because we feel 1,000% responsible for the outcome. And you do have to release yourself from that, because you got to remember God made our kids free will beings. And so, and that's hard to, you know, I'm going through that right now where I'm like, you want to be able to keep them in a bubble and then launch that arrow and that, and there be like bumper,
it's true.
You know, bumper pads on each side. So the barrel arrow definitely goes in the direction that you launched it. And there's no way for it to go off course.
It's true. You're like, I'm gonna launch this arrow. Could you please just, okay. Like, yeah. And I told this lady, I don't know where I was one time, but I said, you know, the Bible teaches us, and I teach on this all the time, right? Psalm 127, mm-hmm. Your kids have been given to you like arrows in the hands of a warrior, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes they're boomerangs and they come back, right?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes you're like, and then you wait, and a year mm-hmm. later, you see in the mm-hmm. distance, like, it doesn't even look like an arrow anymore. It looks like a boomerang, just
right.
Then you have to go, okay. You know,
right.
This kid needs a little bit more encouragement that you need to pray for them, because now I don't have now I definitely don't have, you know, direct responsibility for the choices that they're making anymore. And right. I know sometimes parents are just like, what, you know?
What happened?
Yeah. Right.
Right. You know, it's very true, you know, and I have a friend before, and, you know, we've had a conversation, you know, she has 7 kids, I have 6, and we've had conversations like, okay, what happens when your kids aren't christening? You know, your yes. Christian kids aren't christening, or they're making decisions that, you know, are completely outside, you yeah. know, of what you've yes. taught them. And I'm like, yeah. you know what?
And you know, it's going to hurt them. Job. Like, you're like, that's it. Yeah.
We've done our job. We've planted our seeds. We've bathed them in prayer daily, and we let God do his work. We can't do his yeah. work. We can only do our That's work. Right. But, you know,
and you're still, back to what you and were, you're still praying, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
We never, and I feel like I labor more in prayer now than I mm-hmm. have ever in my life, because so much of what's happening never ends. So much of what's happening in my life is beyond my control, right? It's mm-hmm. just what the kids will do. And you just have right. to pray, Lord, you know, draw them to yourself.
And our kids have more to contend with in the world that we live in than we ever did, you know, at that age. And so it's true. You know, I mean, our prayers would be a foreign language to our grandmothers when we're the things that we're trying to protect our kids from. You know, our grandmothers Come will on. Be like, what is that? What are these yeah. aspects to the world that you're speaking of?
So
but, you know, I was also, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was 18. I was a zoology pre-med major. And really? Yes. And
you did kind of do zoology. I mean, kind of.
Yeah. But what's funny is that all of my kids are science heavy. We were really into different sciences. Now, yeah. all of them have different sciences that are their favorite, but science I've always loved science. And so it made sense all loved science as well. But yeah, and then my sophomore year of college, I decided that I wanted to be in ministry. And my dad, who was a corporate lawyer, was like, freaking out about it. My mom was like, okay. She always trusted that I would land on my feet. And yes. to this day, everything that I've done has been ministry focused. I was ordained at 31, I think. But I've been doing ministry even from a campus perspective since I was 17 years old.
Yeah, it was just in you. And I think that is that's so much of it. And it takes the pressure, or it should alleviate or help to alleviate the yes. pressure that homeschool parents feel when mm-hmm. they feel like it's all on them. It's like, no, it's actually God's gifted and equipped your child uniquely. And right. your job is to help them figure it out. And sometimes they buck against you, and sometimes you don't do it right. But at the end of the day, we continue to pray. We continue to, you know, Lord, I'm still doing that for a lot of my kids. Lord, steer them in the way that they should go.
Yes.
I mean, you said that that's what you do. That's what you're good at. And
absolutely.
And he can absolutely do it. Yeah.
And no matter what you see in the moment, there's never, you know, the story is just starting. You know, the story is just beginning.
So
and so we have to be patient.
Just beginning. So good.
And don't put all that on our own shoulders.
I love that. If people want to get a hold of this book, it is called Teens Unleashed. I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. Unschooling Young Adults as They Reach for Their Dreams. Fantastic read. Carla Marie Williams, I'm so glad that you came. We're out of time for a happy hour. Went by so fast. You and I could talk all day long. I can see. But I'm just really thankful for you. And again, if people want to reach you, they can find you at your website. You do so many more things. I mean, obviously, you're a lot like me in that you got your hands on lots of different things. But CarlaMarieWilliams.com is the name of the website. You have been an absolute delight. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks again for having me.
That's it for Happy Hour today, you guys. Thank you for subscribing to the show. You can reach me at VIP@HeidiSt.John.com, and I'll see you back here again next time. Before we end today's podcast, I have a programming note for you, and I want to let you know how grateful I am that you have chosen to support me and participate as a subscriber to the Heidi St. John podcast. I know that you guys have a lot of things that pull for your time, and I'm honored that you have chosen to give me these extra few minutes each time you listen. In an effort to add more time to our regular podcast content and to focus on the Bible studies that I author each month at the Faith That Speaks community, we have made the decision to discontinue the extended content starting on April 1st. If you would like to continue listening free from the Spotify ads, you can stay subscribed, but this will be the end of the extended podcasts from the Heidi St. John podcast. We love you guys, and we appreciate you. Keep loving your people well.